o'clock on Friday, and that means
Log Talk Radio.
She welcomes Pat Alva Craker, and it's all about Catherine's quest, one woman's journey to elation. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Tom Roberts. Most of the power is back online in Texas, although Electric Reliability Council of Texas CEO Bill Magnus says some folks may still not be able to turn on their lights.
There may still be some outages that have to do with fallen trees or broken equipment that are out there in the electric company systems, and they're out there managing those.
And now the brutal cold has led to frozen and burst pipes overtaxing water treatment plants. Bad weather across much of the U.S. is affecting the delivery of coronavirus vaccines. White House coronavirus advisor Andy Slavitt cites a backlog of about 6 million doses. Democratic progress is under assault in many parts of the world. That's according to President Biden, who today addressed leaders of the Group of Seven Nations in a virtual summit on COVID-19 and the world economy. A leaning construction crane is forcing police and fire crews to evacuate several buildings in Atlanta. Tom Roberts, NBC News Radio.
Right now, Allstate has almost as many ways to save as there are types of music. Save for being a new customer. Save for driving safely. Save for driving less with pay-per-mile insurance. Visit Allstate.com or contact your local agent to get a quote. Find out how much you can save today. Allstate. Now that should be music to your ears.
Not available in every state. Savings based on early signing discount drive-bys and mile wise. Savings vary based on how you buy. Subject to terms and conditions. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
It's Mattress Firm's President's Day sale. Right now, get a king bed for the price of a queen or a queen for the price of a twin. Plus, get a free adjustable base when you spend $6.99 on Sealy. Or save up to $500 on Tempur-Pedic adjustable mattress sets. And you can save 50% on select Sealy Queen mattresses. Now just $299.99. Shop Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, and more with our sleep experts. Only at Mattress Firm. Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Friday. Well, we'll see mostly clouds and rain today. High temperatures around 47, 48 degrees. We'll also have a little bit of wind out of the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Friday night, chance of light rain will be hanging around. Low temperatures dropping down to about 39, 40. For the weekend, more clouds and rain expected. High temperatures in the mid to upper 40s, cresting to 50 in selected areas. Low temperatures in the low 40s. Pretty much a cloudy and wet weekend.
Do you make a positive difference in the world? Do you have a talent, philosophy, base of knowledge, product or service that you know could help a lot of people if only you could reach them? Join Alternative Talk 1150's family of broadcasters and start walking down a fruitful path. As host of your very own program, dial 425-653-1150 and find out just how affordable it can be to have a show on 1150 AM. That's 425-653-1150. Alternative Talk, we have an opportunity waiting just for you.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. Yes, it can seem rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, and it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of your inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. Here on the Christine Epchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Are you ready to step into your vibration of change?
Hello, everybody. Welcome. You might be listening live on 1150 AM KKNW in the Seattle area, or on TransformationTalkRadio.com anywhere around the world, or perhaps you're watching on Facebook Live. You can find us on Facebook Live on my professional page or on Transformation Talk Radio's page as well. You might be listening after the fact on my YouTube channel, and we're starting to get videos up to the YouTube channel, so please find us over there too. But wherever and whenever you're joining us from today, very grateful to have you here. And I'm playing a bit of Russian roulette because I've got cats in the room, so we shall see. It seems that one of them is already trying to join us. Good morning, Benny. Aaron in Seattle.
Hi,
how are you?
Hi, Christine. Doing very well. Have you thawed out from last weekend, and or is your snowcat still standing?
Well, I never did make a snowcat.
I was hoping.
You know, I've got three cats, so
right.
I don't really need another.
Oh, okay,
you know,
good.
A fourth is really like
good
going
point.
From somebody with pets to a crazy cat lady.
Yeah.
So
you're not even close to that. Not even close.
But basically, you know, we've still got some snow on the ground, but the roads are clear, which
excellent.
Is good.
That's what we want to hear.
And we live on a private road down an old, you know, it's a gravel road, and there are about a dozen houses on this road. And fortunately, one of our neighbors inherited a tractor, and so he came and cleared our road, which was so nice.
Oh, that
so
was
nice.
Very, extremely square. Nice for someone to do that.
Yeah, very neighborly. And it's, yeah, it's been kind of crazy, but, you know, at least it wasn't the 28 inches we had a couple of years ago.
Right. That was a freakish thing we had. So, yeah,
it was.
Thank goodness.
It was. And good morning, Olivia, there at TTR. How are you?
I'm doing well, Christine. And I personally am of the opinion that you can't ever have too many cats. So, but that's just me, maybe.
That's one reason why I like you.
I hear that's a proposal for cat sitting then maybe one day for you, Christine. I think Olivia's offered.
Well, I think she's got kitties of her own. She's got cats of her own.
Okay. All right.
I'm looking forward to our conversation today. We're having Pat Alva Craker on, and she was born and raised in El Paso, Texas. She lives in Fort Worth. Oh, Indy. Sorry. And she now resides in Fort Worth, and she's got a husband she's been married to for 3 years. We're going to hear a little bit about her journey. And she's got a dog, Dakota. So, you know, we're talking to another pet person. She has a bachelor's degree in business administration from the University of Texas and certifications in project management and coaching. After a 35 career in the IT industry, Pat Alva Craker was faced with a series of challenges that altered her professional life forever. She was let go from a major technology company. Her husband of 22 years suddenly passed away. They shared 200-acre exotic animal ranch, then she had to close its doors. She's also a breast cancer survivor. And so she really knows what it takes to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, so to speak. I'd like to welcome our guest today, author of Catherine's Quest, One Woman's Journey to Elation, Pat Alva Craker. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Christine. What a pleasure it is to be here with you.
It's nice to have you here. And I always appreciate how people face challenges and make their way through, because not everybody's so fortunate. For some, they go deeper and deeper and deeper into that hole of feeling victimized, of feeling as though they, you know, that they can't really manifest joy again. But your book and your own personal journey says otherwise. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the dark nights of your soul and how you found your way out.
Yeah, so I appreciate that. You know, I certainly believe that that we're all on a sacred path, and that mm-hmm. the situations and events that happen in our lives are for a reason. So the three that were really powerful, that were life-changing, were the breast cancer, learning that I had breast cancer uh-huh. in my 40s. And it was really a time to stop and take a pause, mm-hmm. no doubt about that.
Yeah. You have no choice at that point, right?
Because, I mean, you're just like, okay, it's here, right? What am I going to do? Right? Am I going to crawl up in bed and die, or am I going to take control and responsibility of my own health?
Uh-huh.
And you and I share a path when it comes to cancer. And I did go down the traditional path and then went into an alternative medicine. You know, I decided that I had to take responsibility. I just couldn't rely on the doctors and turn over my power to doctors and rely on them to heal me. Uh-huh. So I took responsibility for that from a mind, body, and soul perspective. It was a time where I not only took a pause with what's going on in my life, what is happening with my career, and how am I spending my time?
Mm-hmm.
Because what I've learned about breast cancer and studying Louise Hay is that breast cancer is associated with overgiving.
Mm.
And this lack of self-care and just giving to the family,
right,
to work, to the community. And that was me. I was absolutely overgiving. Mm-hmm. And decided really to go within and find a different way of living and take responsibility and say, you know what, I'm going to come out on the other side a wiser, stronger woman. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do it a step at a time.
Yeah. And I think it's really important for everybody who's listening that we, to underscore, though, each of us has our own journey about how we approach health crises.
Mm-hmm.
And some people choose completely holistic. Some people choose a mix of holistic, conventional. Some people are just like down that conventional path. And I really think that it, what's important is that it's in alignment with mm-hmm. what feels right to us.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like what somebody says we're supposed to be doing, but instead, like, this feels right. And Bernie Siegel, who wrote Love, Medicine, and Miracles, he's this amazing man who is a surgeon, you know, by training, and he was a surgeon for many years. But he also underscores that it's really about being in alignment with yourself mm-hmm. and whatever that means on your journey to healing. So it sounds to me, Pat, like you decided that you take the conventional path, but that wasn't enough for you because your soul was calling in this situation.
Yes. I absolutely, in one way, Christine, I feel like the cancer was a catalyst for me to actually open myself up and embrace alternative medicine. Because in that process, I learned essential oils, I learned healing with foods, I became a Reiki master, I learned polarity, and I became a healer, which was never an intent, right? It was never right. in my space to go down that path. But Source, you know, had a different plan, and this was one of the lessons, one of the doors that was opened because of it. And I embraced it, and I went down that path. And you never know what's on the other side of the door.
Yes. And sometimes we choose to walk through that door, and other times we're, like, pushed through it, kicking and screaming. And health crises can be the pushing. You know, thing that the kick in the pants to look at life. For me, when I was facing lymphoma,
yeah,
the early stages, and doctors had absolutely nothing to offer at that stage. And ultimately, they, for this type of cancer, they put you on chemotherapy the rest of your life. So I had the time and the space to say, I can't use conventional medicine right now. I'm going to do anything and everything besides that. Found my way to Louise Hay and yeah. several other, you know, mm-hmm. books and teachers, including Bernie Siegel, who I mentioned before. And for me, I kind of wonder, at that point in my life, I probably would have chosen some conventional therapy as well, just because it's such a such a difficult thing to face and have to make that choice. Like, do you do what we're sort of programmed to believe in, so that we can let go of the fear of doing it wrong, or mm-hmm. do we just take that path of alternative medicine? Now I think I'd make a different choice, but it's hard to know. If it's something that required surgery, you know, I might just get that surgery. You know, it's so, and I think that we can't judge another person's path, but it is a shame when people don't take the health crisis to be a wake-up call, a moment of inflection, a year of inflection, whatever it is, because it is a great opportunity, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is a great opportunity. And, you know, I feel that in my journey, there were signs along the way that they were telling me it's time to really, you know, put yourself number one. And uh-huh. do self-care. Don't let it become a crisis before I have to remind you, Pat, that you are not taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
And when we're very aware of our lives and we're tuning in, we start hearing those messages, and we can avoid a crisis if we just connect with our body and we're aware of what's happening uh-huh. and we take time to meditate or journal and just see what's happening within. So that as that transformation is occurring, as that wake-up call is happening, that you can listen to it before mm-hmm. it becomes a crisis like it did for me.
Right. So people talk a lot about self-care. And I think sometimes people think, oh, it's, you know, taking the candlelit bath. It's going for a walk. For you, what did the lack of self-care look like, and how did you shift that?
Right. So the lack of self-care was really taking care of everybody else but myself. It was traveling 80% of the time. And then when I was home, helping my husband with the exotic animal ranch. And it was burning the candles on both ends. Mm-hmm. Not really, just feeling overwhelmed and tired of being tired is what it felt like. Yeah. And I felt like I was rushing through life. I just, you know, it was just one day after the next. What do I need to do today? And there was there wasn't this level of peace that I wanted. And having an opportunity to really sit back and say, what is self-care? For me, it's a mind, body, and soul adventure. It's a mind, body, and soul activities that you practice every day to bring that level of wholeness, peace, being grounded and centered, so that when you're living life from this space of a contentment, and you're responding to life versus reacting.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Two things that I really appreciate. You said self-care is an adventure. I love the fact that you used that word. And the other thing is the thing that I just mentioned a moment
ago. Responding versus reacting.
Yeah, responding instead of reacting, because the reactivity and the reacting to life as though we need to push back or we need to, like, you know, it's almost like getting the messages on our phones, like, instead of focusing on what it is we're doing and moving forward, it's like, okay, we need to respond to this, we need to respond to that, because it makes us not the ones in control, so to speak, in that respect.
Right. We are not in power. We're not coming from a point of power, and we're letting outside sources drive our activity and our emotions and our feelings and decisions.
Right, right. And in that situation, it can end up making us feel either overwhelmed or exhausted, like you said you were, but it can also make us feel like we're victims, mm-hmm. because we're not in our power of saying yes or no to whatever it is. We are instead kind of like the martyrs of our life, you know, and showing up too much for others, not enough for ourselves. So one of the things you talk about is being a leader in your own life. I love that concept. Can you share a little bit more with our viewers about this?
Right. I think, you know, when we're successful in life and in business, the ultimate foundation of your success in those two areas is really how you lead yourself into life, how you lead and make decisions so that you're in a better place to lead a team, lead a business to grow, lead a family. Uh-huh. And it becomes one of being fully present and connecting with your higher self, source, God, Buddha, greater something, whatever that is for you. Uh-huh. Because in leading ourselves, we are never alone through that process.
Mm-hmm.
We are never alone. We're always being told the next best step. It's whether we're listening or not. And so a leader who self-leads takes the time to know that the answers really are all here.
Mm.
And we can ask for the answer, be fully present, and know that you're always at choice.
I love that.
To whatever is in your highest interest.
When you were first diagnosed, did you feel alone?
I did. It was way back in the 40s. I was in my 40s, and at that time, cancer wasn't really talked about like it is today. It wasn't as prevalent. So I went into a cocoon when it came to cancer, and I really took a step back and really didn't, you know, really participate with my team like I could have. I just really stepped back and was I saw other people around me who had cancer and just kind of step back and, you know, kind of exit life. And not like it is today. I mean, if you have cancer, you say cancer, and everybody jumps in and hugs in. There's all these resources. And it was totally different when I was going through my experience. It's like, shh, we don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that because I've heard, I know somebody who was diagnosed with COVID, mm-hmm. and I think it's debatable about whether it's really truly identified or not, but there's a virus there, and she was trying to figure out, does she keep it quiet?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's this stigma attached if you get ill, like, really? Really?
Yeah.
But she was making the choice. She said, I think I'm going to talk about it. Because she didn't feel well for, you know, a good week. It wasn't horrible. And she's like, maybe I should be telling people so that they understand that it's not a death sentence, that it's not something that's really bad, and that it's okay to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So it took some brave people to step out of the stigma of cancer. And I really hope that we can have the same thing, you know, relating to COVID. Influenza and whatever else comes up, because being sick isn't anything to be ashamed of. And we, you know, although I think we have responsibilities towards ourselves, and sometimes that can, if we don't face those and embrace those, it can lead us to illness. But sometimes it's just a path that our soul is taking us on because we have another role to play. We have lessons to learn. So there shouldn't be any judgment about it, and there shouldn't be any stigma.
Yes, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. And also, I think it's the surroundings of how we grew up, because my parents and all their siblings, they never talked about an illness.
Uh-huh.
My father never wanted to know that. He didn't want his friends to know that he was suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really kind of picked up on that from my parents. That you never tell others that you're sick.
Mm.
And I'm like, that doesn't really serve me if I do that. So it was interesting, the influence that I had around me that caused me to not want to really talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And today, it's really important that we talk about it, because the healing is at the emotional, physical, and mental level. And sometimes we need others to help us expand our capacity to deal with the illness.
Absolutely. And the flip side of that is something that I faced in my family, where people, you know, our family talked about the illness within the family. Like, it was such a big deal. I mean, you got such attention if you were sick, and, oh, poor baby, or I'm feeling so terrible. I'm victimized by this terrible, you know, cold that came my way, whatever it was. And so when I first learned that I had the early stages of lymphoma, the one thing I didn't do for the first year was tell anybody in my immediate family, because I knew that I would get attention from that. So there's got to be this, and I didn't want to like have an excuse to sort of keep it in my body, right? If I was getting all this attention, you know, this love and attention from my family, I didn't want to be getting something positive out of my illness besides my own personal growth. And so it's a balancing act between not wearing it on your sleeve, like, poor me, I need something from everybody in the world because I've been victimized by this, and being open and honest and communicative about it so that you can get the support you need and also everybody around you can grow, including yourself.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And it's one of the things that I teach in there is embrace your journey.
Yeah.
Because there's a lesson in there. And if you don't learn what the lesson is in your journey, just like you just said, there will be another circumstance that will present itself so that you can learn the lesson you're meant to learn.
Right. Yeah. And one of the things I've learned is that if you ignore the lessons that your soul is trying to teach you, those lessons just get bigger and bigger, and the consequences become larger and larger.
I agree.
Yeah. So what is it about our journey that is sacred? Because, you know, a lot of people are thinking right now, I've been forced to be in my house. I've been, you know, fed a whole lot of fear on a daily basis in a variety of ways. Life isn't what it should be. Many people are facing relationship issues. Many people are facing the death of a loved one. You know, people are struggling financially. what is it about this journey that can seem so lousy at times? What is it that makes it sacred?
For me, what makes it sacred is that, first of all, no one else is going, no one else is on the same journey that you're on. So there's a uniqueness to the journey that we are all on. And it's a special journey unique to us. And if we embrace it as, this is unique, I'm on a special journey to learn and make an impact. Mm-hmm. And if I honor and respect the journey, then the goodness and the opportunities and the lessons will be more obvious to me when I embrace it and see it as something that I should honor versus mm-hmm. dismiss.
Yeah. And that's really easy to do when it's minor things, but when it's something big, whether it's the end of a relationship, death of a loved one, a big health crisis, that's not easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any recommendations for how we can approach the difficult times, respecting that it's a sacred journey, so that we don't want to just like go and hide under the covers for, a year?
Exactly. So I think, we have two choices. Every time we have a situation, we're always at choice mm-hmm. as to whether we're going to play the victim of that particular journey or that illness or that
uh-huh.
catastrophe, whatever you call it, the crisis, or
right.
we're going to step into our power. We're going to step into the power. And so what does it mean to be resilient and step into that power and take responsibility mm-hmm. is to really be totally present to the moment of whatever's happening, be present to the day and be present to the situation that has come to you and has unfolded in front of you versus focusing on the past or focusing on the future.
Yeah.
So your ability to have that sense of resilience and empowerment comes when you're in the moment and you're present with what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the capacity to ask or answers to guide us through the next step. So we are never alone in our process. We can count on our higher self, God, spirit, whatever that is for you, is to make that connection and ask, what should I do today? What is in my best interest to do today?
Yeah.
And just be open to hearing the answer, because we don't have to know the how of how we're going to come out of the circumstance. Mm-hmm. We just have to be open to hearing the message of how they're guiding us to the other end of the situation. Mm-hmm. So many times we spend, how am I going to get myself out of it? What am I going to do? We're so focused on the how that we forget about being in the experience and allowing our spirit to actually unfold the how for us. And if we have that level of trust in ourselves and in spirit to tell us the how, mm-hmm. we would come out of that situation faster, wiser, smarter, with more peace.
And it's kind of a paradoxical situation, because I think a lot of people make it conditional that they'll be in the now if it's going to get them through faster, as opposed to just being in the now. Because there's no promise that we're going to get to the other side. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have faith at this point that we do in one way or another, but we have to be in the not knowing that we're going to get through it, not knowing how we're going to get through it, not knowing if we're going to get through it. And that is really letting go into the moment.
Yes, it is surrendering. Right?
Yes.
You are surrendering and you are being fully present to the moment, because that's really all we have.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, but stay tuned for more here on the Christine Uptruth Show.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform.
We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Are you feeling the complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you nailed it. For more information about me, visit CarrieNail.com.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on 1150 AM KKNW, as well as TransformationTalkRadio.com. By the way, folks, if you're enjoying these shows, please get onto the Facebook page on my professional page and click like, and please check out my YouTube channel. I'm really enjoying my conversation today with the author of Catherine's Quest, Pat Alva Craiker, and she's talked about how we need to become leaders in our own lives and treat our journey as sacred. Now, Pat, I know that you do coaching in business.
Mm-hmm.
And you specialize in coaching other women, correct?
Yes. Yes.
So how do we make the leap from sacred journey of our life, which we often compartmentalize, meaning personal life, to our business world?
Right. So I fully believe in my coaching that life and business really are one. Mm-hmm. And you can't coach, and I don't coach women specifically on business without bringing aspects of their life into the mix. Because it's important to understand where they are in their life, the type of relationships, beliefs that they grew up with, challenges that they may be having in their life, because they pour over into the business.
Mm-hmm.
So when I coach, life and business are intertwined, and so I coach them on both. And at the end of the day, the coaching and the success in their lives comes from going within and finding that they have the answers within themselves, mm-hmm. and then coaching them from the space and teaching them to live their life and their business, especially when it comes to their decisions, from alignment, from connecting with their heart and making their decisions from that space. When they do that, then the trickle effect of the techniques that I teach them, which are also in the book, Catherine's Quest, One Woman's Journey to Elation, which are about principles and exercises that allow you to connect with yourself and learn how to lead yourself through journaling, through living your life through intention, through unraveling your life. And there's no separation when you start embracing those techniques that will make a difference in moving you forward.
So if somebody is working in a job that they really don't care for, maybe even hate, how do they shift to a business, a career, a way of earning money that is in alignment with who they are?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question, because 63% of people are not engaged in their lives that currently work in corporate America. There's a lot of unhappiness in corporate America.
63%.
63% of totally disengaged in their jobs. That's a Gallup poll that was taken in 2013.
Wow. And I bet you anything, the percentage is higher now.
It's gone up. So a lot of us are not happy in our job. We just don't give ourselves permission to make a different choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so it begins with, are you willing to give yourself permission to take a different route?
Mm-hmm.
You may have been trained in society, have trained in socialization. Your parents said, when you graduate, you go to this job, and you do this job forever. And you get to a point where that is not really me.
Yeah.
And so giving yourself permission to say, you know what, I am not happy here, and I'm willing to take a risk to do what I truly love to do, and start establishing a pattern, a plan, if you will. So the question that I would have with my clients is, okay, what would be your ideal job?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me. If money, resources, everything was available to you, what would you do? And then we dig into that. What would it feel like? What would it look like? Who would you be working with? What would you be doing? Yeah. What would your office look like? What would your working hours look like? And I invite them to dig deeper into what their ideal job would look like. And once they're very clear on that, then we go to the next step and we say, okay, let's create a plan to get you to that ideal job or that ideal business. And if it's a business and it's slowly, then it's stay in your job until we develop the plan and we start transitioning you slowly into your business. I don't invite anybody to jump from a corporate job immediately into business. I say, let's start working your business plan, your business structure, so that slowly over time, when you're ready and you're ready to leave your job, you already have a nice foundation for your business and you're already seeing some clients selling product, whatever that is. So it becomes an easy way to make that transition.
One of the things you just talked about in a variety of ways just now was about our belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
I think that often what happens with our belief systems is we get socialized, we get conditioned, we take on the prevailing beliefs of society, and then we think of it as truth.
Yes.
How do we let go of some of these perspectives that are keeping us jailed and imprisoned within our own minds, but we think it's within our life?
You know what, I love Byron Katie's work, where she talks about beliefs, and how we ask ourselves, as we bring that belief system up into our psyche and how it's affecting our life, and asking ourselves, is this belief true for me?
Mm-hmm.
Is it true for me? And is this belief helping me move forward? And if the belief is keeping you stuck, is keeping you in fear, then what would be the opposite of that belief? So if the belief is that there is that I'm not enough, which is a very common belief within
absolutely,
I am not enough. There's no way that I can go for that promotion. There's no way that I can open a business because I'm not enough. Well, look at where that belief is. Look at where it's keeping you in this one spot that you're unhappy. So what if you did have a belief that you were enough and that you had all the capacity to do whatever you wanted? What would that look like and what would it feel like for you? What if we start putting in affirmation and start taking actions that support that you are enough? What is one action that you can take? So they can start stepping in and validating for themselves that they actually have the capacity to do what they want and be successful at it.
I think oftentimes it's kind of like a new belief is like a big cold body of water that it'd be ideal if we could just dive in and see what it felt like to swim in it. But what we have to do is we have to put our big toe in first, right? And it's like, okay, so what does this feel like? And part of getting wet means leaving the shore of your previous life, previous beliefs.
Belief, yeah.
And so I think we do have to sort of try it on. Like, what if, you know, what if I'm just going to let go of that belief and think I'm worthy when I walk into this party? Or what if I think that I'm worthy of contacting that person to ask for some business support? It's the sort of thing where it doesn't usually happen in one big jump.
I agree with that.
We don't jump in. We don't dive in usually. Although I do, I know one person in particular who would just dive, and I've got great respect for her. But most of us are the toe in the water kind of person.
I totally agree that it is a step by step, and you've spent so much time embracing that belief. Mm-hmm. That is going to take time for you to let go of that belief. Yeah. And I do like the what if questions, you know, what if, what, just take one baby step and then just build on that baby step. And it becomes also a thing, Christina, of awareness. Christina is of awareness, is that when you want to take an action and all of a sudden that belief crawls, you know, raises its ugly head and says, what makes you think that you're enough, blah, 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 is to say, time out. Okay, there's that belief again. So I get to choose right now as to whether I'm going to believe in that or whether I'm going to take a chance on myself and just go and just take that action.
Right.
And I think that change starts with awareness totally.
And I think that the awareness is key. What you're saying is key. And it's not just about the thoughts that go through our head. It's also about what we feel in our body too, right? Because if we're thinking about, say, contacting that person, that potential mentor for support, and if we're feeling the tightness in our solar plexus or feeling some tightness in our throat, then that's giving us a message that there is an underlying belief that may need to be explored. Could be it's the wrong choice. There's a message like that. Yeah. But oftentimes the resistance we actually experience within our bodies, and it is the physical aspect of the origin of that belief that's creating that resistance.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that.
Yeah. And I think about you're saying you were over nurturing others and not nurturing yourself, and that's, you know, and getting breast cancer, that's just so indicative of how that belief system was stored in your body.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
And I look back, now I have clarity on understanding why this happened, and I look back and I'm like, oh, well, my mom was like that.
Uh-huh.
And my grandmother was like that.
Yeah.
And my aunts were like that. You know, it was, and my mom also had breast cancer and ovarian cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
So I could go back and see the pattern, and I'm like, so now my sisters and my nieces, it's like, I tell myself, how am I going to be the example of self-care so that they know that it's important in order to succeed in their life and to serve others is that they need to take care of themselves and fill their cup first before they can give to others.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point because I think oftentimes when you see something like that running in the family, the physical ailment, you know, people tend to think, oh, it's genetic. Well, there may be genetic predispositions, but as Bruce Lipton talks about, there's got to be something environmental or internal that triggers that manifestation. So kudos to you to be sharing that with other women in your life so that they don't have to have that experience.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we go any further, I want to make sure our listeners and viewers know how to connect with you. What's your website, and can you tell us a little bit about what you offer?
Yes. So my website is called MajesticCoachingGroup.com, as well as my Facebook page and LinkedIn, MajesticCoachingGroup.com. And my book is available there, as well as my journal. And it also comes with affirmation cards, which is available on my website under the Catherine's Quest tab. I love working with women and helping women grow their business with ease and grace by connecting with who they are and working from this space. And I do it through VIP days, which is a 4 to 5 hour immersive experience on a topic that's of interest. I work in a group environment where I work with 10 to 12 women at a time, and I hold retreats. So you can learn all about who I am and what I do by going to MajesticCoachingGroup.com. And okay. I will be posting 3 retreats coming up, one in May, one in September in Dallas-Fort Worth, and then in April of 2022, I will be going to Sedona. So if if you're a retreat type kind of gal and you're into self-care and business retreats, then you want to get on my waiting list so that I can let you know.
Yeah, and, you know, Dallas-Fort Worth, I happen to know personally that they've got the best Tex-Mex in the country.
Yes.
So, and great Southern hospitality, which is, so it's a wonderful place too. You know, that many people think of Sedona as the place to go, but which is a wonderful place. But, you know, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, too, has its special aspects as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And I love that you're doing retreats, like physical retreats.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to be in a state that's just been so incredibly locked down. It's very frustrating. I have a lot of admiration for other states that are a little bit more hands-off.
Yeah,
I know that some people think that's sacrilegious, but I tell you, the fear is toxic, and I think we need to connect in person, and I'm looking forward to being in group gatherings again. I'm looking forward to teaching in public as opposed to just like on Zoom. We need that. We definitely need that.
And women are talking to me about that. I'm a connector, and you know, host a lot of events at my home, and I get calls. What are you having something in your house? You know, when are you going to bring us together again? And I feel it and I hear it and I sense it.
Yeah.
Women need connection right now.
So what is it? I know you specialize in coaching women. What is it about women's challenges that differ from men's challenges from your perspective? Of course, you know, you are a woman, so you probably can't immerse yourself into man's experience. But from that higher level perspective, how are we different?
With women, one of the challenges that I see a lot in women is they don't feel that they're enough.
Mm.
Not enough to even go to, whether they're in corporates, because I coached women when I was in corporations. In corporate America, is that a job would become open, and they would list the skill sets that they need, and a woman would say, well, I don't have all those 10 skills, so I'm not enough to be able to apply.
Right.
And I'm not enough to be able to own my business. So the fact that we don't feel that we're enough is a major one.
Yeah.
Lack of clarity, you know, what we want. Something when we work on clarity and then we work on the courage, there's a courage, then the confidence comes. And we say yes a lot. So we don't have boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have boundaries. And if we make boundaries, we don't honor them.
Yeah.
And so we're doing a lot for other people. And we don't know how to say no. And we're not really living aligned with our values because we don't have boundaries that we really stick to.
Yeah. And it's interesting because the boundaries, I think, are a huge issue for women.
Yes. The overgiving, the not being able to say no. And one of the things that, you know, I'm sometimes teaching others is that it's a very spiritual thing to say no when it's appropriate. I think that we, from a cultural perspective, we think that how we are defined, how we're viewed in terms of our, how loving we are, how spiritual we are, it somehow equates with how much we give. And some people may perceive that as financial, but I think women tend to perceive it in terms of giving of themselves directly. Mm-hmm. And it seems very appropriate to set boundaries. What are some of the benefits that you perceive to setting boundaries?
Look, yeah, there's a lot of benefits to setting boundaries. First of all, you teach people how to treat you. First of all,
yeah.
You teach
that's
people
so important.
How to treat
so important.
You. It's so important to teach people how to treat you, and that comes through boundaries. And there's your self-esteem goes up when you start setting boundaries and honoring your boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So you teach people how to teach how to treat you.
Right.
Your self-esteem goes up. You feel more confident. Once you start creating and sticking to boundaries, then you start creating more boundaries that align with your values, and you start living a value-based life.
Mm-hmm.
And a value-based life equals your ideal life.
Uh-huh. So in your own transformation, what happened once you started setting boundaries?
It's really interesting. When you start setting boundaries, first of all, boundaries for me were a form of self-care. So I had to set boundaries in regards to the amount of time that I would spend in my business, how I took care of making time to take care of myself physically.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I noticed is not I became happier as a person because I started setting boundaries and honoring who I am as a person and honoring myself physically, mentally, and spiritually, which I talk a lot about those morning routines in the book because it's important to have a routine that is embraced around self-care. So I talk a lot about that. And one of the things one of the things that happens when you start setting boundaries is that it forces people to change.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be some resistance that you need to be aware of and have to be ready to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you're asking people to behave differently because of a boundary that you've set.
Yeah.
And the strength to be able to stand in your power and say, this is why this boundary is so important to me. So it just starts changing the quality of your life, your self-esteem, and the way people treat you. And on and on.
Yeah. It's also risky, though, from my perspective, because if we are true to ourselves and set the boundaries that we need to set in order to respect ourselves, it can force us down a path of change. And that can mean leaving a dysfunctional relationship, leaving a job that's making you unhappy. How do you advise people to deal with the fears that come up with the potential for significant change?
Right. So the question is, it will require a change.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it that you're afraid of?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's get down to what is it that you're really afraid of here. If you decide that you're only going to, that you're going to honor, you know, your business hours, for example, because women go into business for financial and time freedom. So they can spend time with their families and mm-hmm. friends and do voluntary work. And then they work, you know, 12 to 15 hours a day. I said, so what's the point of going into business if you're not willing to honor the boundary in regards to your business hours?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, you know, Christine will get upset because I won't be answering her phone at night when she has a crisis. Or,
uh-huh.
you know, I might be losing business because people aren't able to call me except for these hours. And I'm like, okay, so you're afraid of losing business and you're afraid of retaliation from your clients. Okay, so what's the worst that can happen? What if we just start slowly bringing in your hours? So you just don't automatically go from 9 to 6 and people just, you know, are in shock. So let's start. How comfortable would you feel if you went from, you know, instead of working 12 hours, let's start having you work to 10 hours. And what would that feel like?
Mm-hmm.
And let's start prioritizing things in your life and know that, you know, change can be scary. But if you don't make those changes a year from now, where are you going to be?
Right.
What's the consequence of not taking that chance on yourself and setting that boundary and making that change?
Yeah. And it's hard to know this when you're going through a big change. If you haven't gone through a lot of made choices to go through a lot of big changes. But one of the things I've learned is it's like a muscle that you exercise.
Yeah.
The more you do it, the easier it becomes because you've gotten through it. You've learned what you needed to learn. You've gotten to the other side and realized, oh, wow, this feels easier. There's a greater ease and flow in my life. And so it's kind of like you end up trusting more, which is such an important part of choosing something new and choosing to walk through change.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. To trust. Trust is key. Trusting yourself on your decisions. Trusting not only your analytical part of your mind, but also trusting your intuition, what your heart says.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. We've only got a couple minutes left, but the subtitle of your book is One Woman's Journey to Elation. And I know that it's sort of a fable, but what is it about elation that you think that we should journey? Why should we journey towards that?
Why should we journey elation?
Yeah.
So you know, many people ask me, so what does elation mean? And I'll start with that. I believe elation is just beyond happiness. And I believe that we've all had an experience where we've been beyond happiness.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you're walking down the aisle, when you're first holding your first child, you take your dream vacation. You know, we've had that level of happiness in our life.
Right.
And we can choose to have that in our life more and more and more. And it's just a choice.
Yeah.
It's a choice. Today, I'm going to live from a state of elation. Why is it that I am so elated today?
Yeah.
And step into that space.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I think that probably one of the most profound moments of my life was when I spontaneously thought, it's going to snow, I'm going to get an extra loaf of bread and feed it to the pigeons. And, you know, it was just this amazing connection with these birds in a parking lot, you know. And we can have moments like that. It doesn't have to be something as big as holding your first child, you know.
Exactly.
Holding a baby. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Yeah. So again, mention your website, please.
It's majesticcoachinggroup.com.
Yeah.
And this is Pat Alba Krieger, author of Catherine's Quest, One Woman's Journey to Elation.
Pat, I'm very grateful you joined us here today, and apparently so is my cat, Indy. Thank you for being on the show and offering your time and your wisdom with our audience.
Thank you, Christine. I appreciate the opportunity. Your show is amazing. I would invite people to go to your YouTube. I was there yesterday and today. You have amazing speakers come in with really profound messages.
Oh, thank you. And I want to thank all of our viewers and listeners for joining us here today. We do this show for you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you'd like to empower yourself to step further into your vibration of change, please visit my website at christineupchurch.com, where you can learn more about my insights, upcoming events, and private sessions.